Amen with that. Well, in the name of Father's Day, I'd like to read from the good book that our Father wrote. Amen? Our Heavenly Father wrote for us. And I'm going to start in a chapter or in the book of Luke. And this is going to be our theme today. It's going to be our message today is about what we're going to read in Luke. Now, the first couple of things I'm going to read isn't going to make sense. Well, I'm going to tie it all together, I promise. Okay? We're going to read in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read 1 through 7 from the New Living Translation. It says this: tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus said to them with a story: if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 other in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to read the next portion as well. And Jesus tells a parable then of a lost coin. And this is another story to reiterate what Jesus is talking about. It says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house to search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the funny thing is that Jesus doesn't stop there. He yet says another parable to reiterate the point on what he's talking about. He says this, and to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide the wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still long away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to his servant, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead and now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party begins. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. He asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother is back, he told him. And your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all the time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money and prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. Three parables, all conveying the same message. Now on this day, today, one of probably, well, it's a special day. It's a celebration of fathers. And I'm not taking anything away from mothers. Don't get me wrong. There's something special about fathers. And in this society today, there's a situation we have with fathers. I don't want to go into the politics and the social stuff with fathers and what's going on, but y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a need in the world today, and there's a need of father figures. And it's affecting everybody. It's affecting everybody. It is only repairable by the men that live on this earth. It's something that you could call home improvement. And it deals with the men. It deals with the male, the father figure. I don't want to get into it, but in my studies and in reading, there's this thing nowadays people are terming, it's called father hunger. There's a longing for something that's missing in many young kids today. And it's both male and female. There's a father hunger. And they look for this father figure. And it's not necessarily an actual person. And so some people and some kids search for other things to fill the void. As if we don't know Jesus, and then most people have a void. And they try to fill that void. It's the same thing with this father hunger. There's an emptiness on the inside. And there's a void that needs to be filled. And in today's society, we call that father hunger. It starts from the youngest of children and into the teens and into young men who don't have fathers around or a father figure, and even grown men who have never had that father, have this father hunger. On this Father's Day today, then, I want to again say thank you and appreciate what you fathers do. My father, not living anymore, was a great father, a great mentor. And our Heavenly Father is the same. He is a great father and a great mentor. Again, I don't want to take anything away from mothers, but today is Father's Day. It's our turn. Jesus, in these parables, I believe, was painting a picture of a father. In all three parables, he's painting a picture of what a father should look like. And what a father should do, and characteristics of a father. In all three parables, the parable of the lost sheep, one sheep goes lost. It's not that he doesn't care about the other 99, but what does he do? He goes and looks for that one, the love of the one. In the parable of the lost coin, The woman lost a coin. It's not that her other money wasn't important, but what? That one coin was important. And in the parable of, well, what you would call, and what most people call, the prodigal son. But I want to call this today the parable of a loving father. I want us to look at it from the perspective of the father. Many times we look at it as the son, oh, the son was lost, and the son got into this, and the son got into that, and oh, the son, and woe is the son, and what happens? The son makes a decision and comes back. Well, let's look at the father's side. He lost the son. The son squandered some money, his inheritance. And if you look back in the land and what was going on at the time, he had two sons. The eldest son was going to get 2/3. The youngest son gets 1/3. So that youngest son got 1/3 and squandered it on unholy living. We know the story. We just read the story. And the son comes back. We have to look at this from the father's perspective, I believe. To understand today that we have the greatest mentor of a father in God the Father. How do we know how that works? Let's read the Word. How do we become like the Father? Let's read the Word and see what the examples are. We read three examples here in Luke 15 about one thing getting lost. One thing getting lost. And everything else at that point in time is not that important than the one lost thing. Amen? Jesus tells the story here. Jesus tells these three stories of a God who is not distant. Of a God or a Father who is not over there. Many times I believe that we think God is over there. Oh, God, over there. Oh, God, you're there. And I'm here. You're in heaven and you're in here. We just talked about, in the beginning of the service, we read Psalm 139. And Psalm 139 says, God is everywhere. God is right here. There is no place that we can't go that he is not. And if God is our Father, then there is no place we can't go where our Father is not. I can remember going into certain things when I was younger, and I would want to be by my dad's side because I was scared or unsure. This life is no different. If God is by our side, we have him when we are scared or unsure. He is right there. He is right holding our hand and going through with us. You think of the Hebrew children in the fire. He wasn't outside doing some kind of magical thing on the inside. That's not our God. Our God was in the fire with them. Amen? He was in the fire. And that wasn't part of that's for free. Jesus told us a story of the loving Father. In all three examples, the love of our Heavenly Father, the love that your Father in heaven shows you is extravagant. It's wild. You can put those, it's wildly extravagant. It's amazing. The love that the Father has showed you. And his love is so able to fill this Father hunger that we might feel on the inside. This hunger that we feel on the inside for something that's missing, let's run to the Father. For his arms are open. Amen? I want to turn to chapter 15 and I want to look at verse 12. We're going to dive through this parable of the loving Father. And in verse 12, the son asks his father for his inheritance. And the father wasn't dead yet. And typically in this culture, you didn't really ask for the inheritance until, well, it was time. And so you could think of this as disrespectful, saying, hey, I understand that you're not gone yet, but I want my money. I want my inheritance. And the funny thing is that the father could have said no. But the father said, yeah, here you go. In some commentaries that you read about this particular thing, when you dive in and study the word a little bit, some commentaries tell you that this particular instance when the son asked the father, hey, give me my money, before the father had passed on, is kind of like saying, hey, father, I wish you were dead, but you're not, but give me your money. That's kind of not respectful, huh? And anyway, hey, I wish you were dead already. Give me your money. That's not a good thing. There's some scripture in Deuteronomy that tells on what happens when we disrespect our fathers. And we don't have to go there. But it's an Old Testament consequence when sons or kids did not respect their father. Deuteronomy 21 is also the chapter that you find the inheritance, the 2/3 for the older and the 1/3 for the younger. But our Heavenly Father, just like this father, is generous. Amen? He's generous. So he didn't say no. He didn't say no. I know that at some point in time, as a father or as a parent, you have to kind of let your kids go. There's a point in time that I believe, and I see from my parents, there's a point in time where you kind of let your kids kind of do what they need to do and live life and see what happens. And so I believe that this was his time. And so the father was like, okay. You ask, I'll give your inheritance. He's a generous father. And I don't think that the father let him go without longing and praying for his son. I'm sure that there were nights stayed up and days where he prayed for his son to start a business, take his inheritance and do something with it. Completely giving their kid into God's hands, praying that they will do something with that money and do something with that inheritance and commit their own lives to the Lord. I'm sure that is a parent's prayer. At the point in time, it's my prayer for my kids that they will come to know the Lord. And that when it's time to let them go, that they will commit themselves to the Lord. That's my prayer right now. And so I'm sure that this was his father's prayer. As it is our father's prayer. That we should come to the Lord. To come to him. Our Father in heaven is a giving father. And I think this example shows an example of what fathers should be to their children. A giving father. Like our Father in heaven, a wildly extravagant giver to our children. In verse 13 through 19, it says this, a few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all of his money. About the time he ran out of money, a great famine swept over the land, he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him to the fields to feed the pigs, and the young man became so hungry that even he wanted to eat the pods that the pigs were feeding on. But no one gave him anything. You see, in these verses, We don't hear much about the Father. We hear a lot about the Son. But I can pretty much say that as a parent, as a mom or a dad, when your kids are gone, you're praying. You're praying. You're covering them in the blood of Jesus, that they're safe, that they're committing themselves to the work of the Lord, and that the Lord and the angels are keeping them safe. So I'm sure that this father was not doing anything but the same, praying for his child, believing and trusting that his son will come to his senses, come home, or make something of himself. He was eagerly waiting. And I'm going to read some more. And I say eagerly waiting because of the next couple verses. He says this. When finally he came to his senses and said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food. So he came to his senses and said, hey, I'm starving here. Maybe I should go home where I know that I'll get fed, where I know that I'll be taken care of, that I know that there's a father who loves me and that will shower me with things. He knows that's what happens. And even he says this. He says, I'm not good enough. You know, I sin both heaven and you. And in some places, heaven in this version means God. So he sinned against God and his father. He says he's no longer worthy of being called his son. And so if you go to verse 20, it says that he returned home to his father. And the next part of this verse is very interesting. And this is what I want to get to, that this father, while he was still long away, his father recognized his son. Now, I don't know about you, but if you go out this door and look down the street and see somebody long way off, will we be able to recognize those people? Maybe. It says in some versions that this father recognized his son's silhouette. He recognized his son's silhouette far off in the distance. So what is this father doing? He's waiting. He's outside of his residence. He's outside of his ranch. He's outside waiting and longing for his son to return. Praying, longing, waiting. So the example here that we're given is that a father, one, is generous. Two, is praying. And three, is waiting, longing. Longing for what? Longing to see his son. Longing to see his son and do what? Longing to see his son and have him back. He's longing. He's waiting. He's waiting. And then in verse 20, he sees. He sees. So he's not waiting in his lounge chair. He's not waiting in front of the TV. He's not waiting in the back doing some kind of woodworking. He's not waiting. He's waiting and looking out the front of his yard, seeing his son from a distance, recognizing that, hey, that's my son. That's his silhouette. And he's coming this way. Woo. Come on now, church, get this. But while he was still long off, his father saw him. He was waiting. He's hoping that his son would return. I can believe that this father saw his son come home in a dream. I can believe that this father saw a dream and where his son came home, and that he saw that and went with it, and in faith he waited. He's coming home. He's coming home. Waiting for the day. And that day came. He saw his son, silhouette, coming home. Can we see lost souls coming home? Can we see lost people coming home? Are we looking? Are we waiting? Are we praying? Are we seeing? Are we out on the front stoop looking for lost souls to be had? Hey, that's a lost son. Come on home. Come on home. Amen. Can we see that? Do we have a vision of hope for these lost sons and daughters to come home? For the salvation of family members, loved ones, other children, other brothers and sisters? Do we have that vision and longing and waiting and seeing that come to pass? I believe that this parable here is an explanation and a showing and a teaching of what we can do as believers in Christ in waiting and looking and seeing and praying and waiting and bringing them in. Amen? Amen. Now, if we continue and look at verse 20 again, see, all these things are good. All these things are good because it shows us the way that we should be. Not just as fathers, but a father example. But as members of the body of Christ. Not just as fathers, but a fatherly example. And here we go. Listen, look. It says in verse 20, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still long off, his father saw him coming. The next part is very important. And filled with love. Filled with love and filled with compassion. This is my favorite part. He ran. He ran to his son. He ran filled with love and compassion, and he ran to his son. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a father. A distinguished father, an elder in the family. At that point, he's in robes, right? They're wearing robes. They don't wear pants and shorts and things like we, and they're in sandals, right? And at this point, he's a dignified father. And he sees his long-lost son. He doesn't stand there and wait and say, I knew he'd come back. I knew it. I'm going to wait for him. That boy, he's squandering all my money. I'm just going to wait for him so he can have that walk of shame all the way home. He doesn't do that. He sees his son, his long-lost son, his son that squandered all his money on prostitutes and wild living, this son that did all these bad things in a past life, coming home. And so what does this father do? Filled with love and filled with compassion, this man, this dignified man, hikes up his robe and runs to his son. Runs to his son. And he doesn't just run. I believe that he sprints. He is running so fast. He's running so fast because the love that he's filled with, the compassion that he's filled with, he sprints to that boy. He sprints to that boy saying, yeah, I knew you'd come home, boy. Yes. He gets to him. Embraces him. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Ooh, boy. Filled with compassion, filled with love, he runs. Yeah. Wow. He runs. Now get that picture. Get that picture. Come on. Imagine you're coming home, right? You were that lost. I was that lost son. beaten down. Drugs, alcohol, girls, whatever. I was, and all of a sudden I see my father, and the father runs. The father runs to me. I didn't run to him. He ran to me. That's love. The father that I squandered the inheritance, that I didn't listen to, that I didn't obey, that I left, ran to me. The father that we, like Peter, the father that he said he didn't know, ran to him. Ran to him. Filled with compassion, filled with love, filled with the understanding that when life gets you down, I'm the dad. I lift you up. I'll make all things better. I'll bring you up. I want to look at this picture again. Now, this son, oh boy, he's been laying with pigs. So you imagine what he's wearing. What is he wearing? Rags? Smells? I don't know if anybody had been around pig pens and things like that, but woo boy, they smell. And you can smell them for miles. They stink. Where I grew up, we had some farms, and a friend of mine, they raised pigs, and we helped out a little bit. I didn't live on the farm, but I helped out because they paid well, and they paid in good food. The summer times, we helped out on the farm, and woo boy, those pigs stunk. You're walking, you got knee-high boots on because you're walking in poop. You're walking in whatever. Urine stinks. But this father didn't care. This father didn't care. He ran to his son. He ran to his son. He embraced him, and he kissed him. All the pig poop all over him, all the stench, he ran, hugged him, kissed him. It didn't matter. And what that tells me is this. It don't matter what I've been into. It doesn't matter what you've been into. It doesn't matter what people out there are into. It don't matter. The love of the Father covers. It don't matter. Come home. Come home. The Father will hug, kiss you, make it all better. That's what I get. That's what we get. You may stink. It don't matter. The Father loves you. You may be dirty. It don't matter. The Father loves you. Amen? And it don't, I mean, I like to think that the Father sprints out there. And in the Greek, the word is trecho. They use trecho. And trecho means a fast movement. It's a contrary to slow. So trecho is a fast movement. So I don't know. Older gentleman running. He must have been going fast. Not caring what's going on. The only thing he cared about was getting to his son, embracing his son, and welcoming his son home. He didn't care if he was going to pull a muscle. Sandals come off. He didn't care. He didn't care if his robe came up. He cared about embracing his son. Amen? Amen. Total acceptance. This father showed this son total acceptance no matter what. No matter what. That right there is the example I want to follow. Total acceptance. Yeah, my son left. Yeah, he squandered his inheritance. Yeah, he's dirty. Yeah, he's filled with poop. Yeah, okay. He's come home. He's come home. He's come home. People of the body of Christ, people are out there that are lost, that are filled with poop, that are filled, that are in rags, filthy rags, and they stink and whatever. But what do they need? They need the love of the Father. The compassion and the love of the Father to embrace them, to kiss them, and bring them home. Amen? And that's not even the best part. That's not even the best part. He didn't just take them in and say, hey, come on, we'll get you showered. Come on, we'll get you right here. He didn't say that. In verse 22, this is what he does next. Verse 22 says, hey, and I believe this is what happened. If we go back to verse 21, his son then says to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. In verse 22, I believe that the father was so excited that I think he cut his son off. I like to believe that he was so excited that his son came home, that you know how kids just babble on, and hey, just be quiet, right? I believe that this father was so excited and filled with love and compassion that as his son was saying, Father, I have sinned above the heaven and you are no longer, I believe that he said, be quiet. Servants, quick, give me a robe, give me some sandals, give me a ring, and let's put them on him. He's home. Amen? Woo. And I think he cut his son off. Hey. None of this not worthy stuff. You're my son. You're home. You're where you need to be. You're home. Let's get you some robes. Let's get you a ring. Let's get you some sandals. Now, in those days, a ring meant what? Prestige. You're part of the family. You're part of the crew. You give him a robe. It wasn't just filthy. Give him a robe. Bring the finest robe. In the house. Put it on him and get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. This father restores this man back to sonship. This son left, taking all of his inheritance, saying, you know what, I'm out of here. I don't want to be your son. I'm done. I'm out of here. Blah, I'm done. Father, I disrespect you. I'm out. And then what happens? The father says this, come on home, son. Get a robe on. Get a ring on. Get the finest clothes on. If you read further, let's kill this fattened calf. Let's celebrate. Woo, you're home. Let's have a good time. You're home. Let's party. You're home. Let's get this. Let's get this. This is the love of the Father. This is a father's love, a father's heart. Come on home, boy. Come on home, girl. Let's put the finest clothes on. Come on home. Get it. Get it. Come on home. And this is what we can do with the power of God inside of us, with the love of the Father inside of us. We can go out and bring those people home. Whether it's our own family, whether it's our own brothers and sisters, whether it's our own kids, grandkids, cousins, whatever, bring them home. And when they come close, just enough so you can see their silhouette, run to them. Run to them with the love of the Father. Embrace them, kiss them. This son is totally undeserved. He thinks, I don't deserve this stuff. But the father says, shut up. Shut up. Be quiet. I love you. You're my son. I believe if this was, he'd say, you're my daughter. I love you. Come on in. I got a robe for you, finest robe. I got a ring for you. We just polished it. I got some good sandals. He just made them. I got this calf. We're going to cook it. We're going to have a party. In verse 24, the party begins. So they celebrate. They celebrate that this son came home. Woo! Bring the fattened calf. Let's kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. For the son of mine was dead, and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. And in my version it says, so the party begins. Amen. That's my dad. That's your dad. That's your heavenly father that says, hey, I want to put you in the finest robe. I want to put a ring on your finger. I want to put you in the finest sandals. And I'm going to kill this calf out here we've been fattening, and we're going to celebrate. Amen. We're going to have a shindig. That's a party. In case you didn't know, that's a party. We're going to have a feast. I want to turn real quick to the book of Zephaniah. It's a chapter in the Old Testament. Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Z-E-phaniah. I think it's before Zechariah. It's before Haggai or Haggai. And Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Chapter 3, verse 17. I believe that this scripture was sung there. I believe that the angels were singing this when that boy came home. What does it say? For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, and with his love will calm all your fears. And he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you with such wild, extravagant love that he don't care what you look like. He don't care what you smell like. He don't care how far you've gone. He don't care what you got into. He don't care what's going on. He just says this: come on home, boy. Come on home, girl. Let's get you in good clothes. Let's have a fattened calf, and let's party because you're home now. Amen? We should be happy about that. Why? Because you're home, and we're partying. Why are we partying? Because you're home with the Father. And the Father says, I love you. He doesn't say, you're no good. He says, I love you. Yeah. And he embraces you and kisses you and puts the finest clothes on you and kills the finest calf to party. God the Father thinks that you are something. He thinks that you're something else. He thinks that you're the finest catch since whatever. He thinks that you're the best thing since sliced bread. That's what he thinks. That's your daddy. That's your father. You might have had the best father, the earthly father ever. You might have had the worst earthly father ever. It don't matter. You got the Father. You got the Father who, when you're lost, he runs to you. When you're far off, he runs to you. He's with you in the darkness. He is with you wherever you are. He restoring you back to his family. He gives it back to you. You left. He didn't take it away. I left. He didn't take it away. But I'm coming back, and he says, here, listen, boy. Let's get back to where we started. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Put that ring back on your finger. Let's go have a party. We have a father who is longing for you. We have a father who wants to give, did give. We have a father who gives everything to you. I want to read the last scripture again in Luke chapter 15, where it talks about the brother. I want you to see something here. Let's go to verse 28 and just read the rest, right? It says here, the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in because he heard there was a party going on. He's like, I'm angry. My brother, he squandered all that stuff. I ain't going in. He's mad. His father came out. See, there again. His brother finds out that his brother's home and that they're going to throw a party for this brother that squandered everything. I believe, rightly so, he got angry in the flesh and said, hey, I don't understand. So what does the father do? He recognizes that his brother's not at the party. Hey, where's my other son? And so what does he do? He goes to the other son. He goes to the other son and says, hey, what are you doing? Your brother's home. He says, hey. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years, and this is an anger, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you said to me, you told to me. And all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. So this brother is focused all about who? Him. You never gave me this. You never did this to me. You never gave this for me. You never gave this for me. And I love what the father says back. Look, son, you have always stayed by me. And this is the older son. So let's go back to this inheritance. The older son gets how much? 2/3. The younger son took 1/3, right? So this older son, get what the dad says. Get what the father says. Look, son. You have always stayed by me, and everything that I have is yours. Son, I believe it was like this. Son, I don't think you understand. All of this, this is yours. We had to celebrate this day. Why? Because your brother was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, and now he's alive. He was gone, and now he's home. You see, the father went to both of his sons and said, hey, look, to the one son that squandered everything, said, hey, you're home. You're home. To the other son, said, hey, look, man, everything is yours. Everything is yours. Don't you see that all that I have is all that you have? So check this out. If the Father here is a representation of what God the Father is and how God the Father works, check this out. All that God the Father has is yours. Everything that God the Father has and is and will be is yours, is ours. All that we have is everything that he has. Everything that he has is already everything that you have. Amen? All through these three parables, something was lost, but it was so important to the person that it was found. If you were once lost and now you're found, you were that important to the Father. You were more important at that time than the son that was already there, that the father went out and got that lost son and brought him back in. Don't you understand? We are here. We, right now, at this point in time, if you're a believer in Christ, you are the other brother. You have it all. You have God's kingdom. You have the inheritance. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You have it. Amen. And those people out there are the lost. So what is this father saying? You, me, all of God's people need to have the love of the Father inside so we can run to those people who are lost, bring them into the inheritance. Be watching, be seeing, be giving for that time when we see them in a distance, we can run to them, we can embrace them, we can kiss them, and we can put a robe on them, and we can put a ring on their finger, we can put sandals on their feet, and bring them into the love of the Father, and bring them into the feast, and bring them into the party, and bring them into the celebration. That's what the love of the Father is all about, as an example for how we, you and I can live our life to bring in those lost people. Amen? That's what it's about. And I pray that today, through these scriptures, it opens our eyes, it opened my eyes, to understand that it's about the love of the Father. It's about the love of the Father. In 1 John, this is the last scripture. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. This is all such a powerful scripture to kind of wrap it all up today. The love of the Father is so big, so deep, so wide. And once we were lost, and now we're found. We were gone, and now we come back. We were outside the family, but now guess what? See how very much our Father loves us. See how very much the Father loves you, for he calls you his children. And that is what you are. Oh boy. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. If you don't get this last part, get it now. Because that is what we are. We are his children, grafted into his kingdom. Part of that celebratory feast, part of that inheritance, amen? That is what we are. Amen? That is what we are. I want to read the last part of this because I think this is a call. This is a calling. This is an eye-opener to what's going on. It says, but the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. The call here is this, that they know him. Because once they know him, they will then recognize that they too are children of God. That they too, that's what they are, children of God. Amen? 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 Amen. Let's understand that every boy that I know has a longing to be like their father. And if we have our Heavenly Father, these three scriptures right here, this whole chapter 3, or this whole chapter 15, is an example of how we can be like the Father. And I challenge you to be like the Father and to live life with the Father's love. And I'm not talking about your earthly father. I'm not talking about the father that may have left you. I'm not talking about that father. I'm talking about God the Father. That's the example. He's the example of how we can love people. Amen? The Father's love, the Father's heart overflows. It's generous. It's giving. It's compassionate. It's embraceful. It kisses. It clothes. It parties. Because you came home. He, in very much way, is the prodigal father in the way that he loves his children. If we love our children, love people the way that this father loves his children, we will have more than enough at that party. We will have it packed. But we need to love people the way that this father loves his people. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged. I encourage you today to be loving, to be generous. I'm talking to myself. To be encouraging to other people, to be loving to other people, to see through the stench, to see through the ragged clothes, and to see what's on the inside. To see what's on the inside of people and not what's on the outside of people. That's truly the love of the Father. What's on the inside of people is way more precious than what's on the outside. And the cool thing is this. When those smelly, stinky, stenchy people meet the Father, guess what the Father does? He clothes them in good things. Amen. He clothes them in godly things. For the Father loves you because you are his child. So as a father loves the child, we can follow that example. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand, please. And let's just pray. I want us to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you give the example. Thank you, Jesus, that we see in your scripture that your fatherly love, the love of the Heavenly Father, flows and overflows with love and generosity. That you, Father, are the example of how we can love our children and how we can love the people around us. That we can be like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, we ask the Spirit to increase our strength today. Increase our strength. And I ask that the Holy Spirit increase the strength of the people listening. To know every need and every concern. And to know that you will come running to fulfill their need. That you are the Father. Father, we give thanks to you this day. We say to you, Father, happy Father's Day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for you have given us a spirit. It's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of light, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of generosity, a spirit of compassion. And Father, I asked, and I encourage everybody here today, let our light shine. Let our love shine so that all can see. As Jesus said, let the light shine before all so that they all may see and glorify the Father in heaven. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, let your light shine today tomorrow, all days, every day, so that all men can see and glorify Heavenly Father. I encourage you and challenge you to live out the Father's love. The Father's love that embraces you each day. The Father's love that went running to you. The Father's love that embraced you and kissed you and clothed you in righteousness. Take that kind of love and go find other people. And be looking for others who need that kind of love, who need a Father's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, happy Father's Day. Yes, be encouraged. You have a Father that loves you. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. Have a great week. Have a loving week. Your Father in heaven loves you. I love you. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Stay strong. In Jesus' name. Be blessed. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before you leave, let's embrace everybody. In Jesus' name.